Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Today, thank you guys. As you make your way back to your seats, I just want to welcome you again today. Thank you for being here. My name's Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I would love the opportunity to do that right after service. We're so grateful for you being here today, and your presence matters. It's a really, really, really big deal. Today is Palm Sunday, and what that simply means is we remember, we celebrate the week leading up to Jesus's death and resurrection, and the streets as Jesus entered his triumphant entry, the streets were lined with the people, and they were waving the palm branches, and they were worshiping our Lord. And today we kind of celebrate that, and we look forward to all that God does. And so next Sunday, obviously, is just an amazing day. It's the day that we celebrate Christ's resurrection. And this is what separates Christianity. This is what separates us from every other religion in the world, every other thing, because a lot of religions have gods, right? But they all died and stayed dead. And we serve a God that we believe he died on that cross for our sins, and 3 days later he rose again. And so next Sunday we're going to celebrate that resurrection. And let me just encourage you once again, invite somebody. There's a card there in your seat. You can grab this and hand that out, or leave it at Starbucks or Kroger or wherever you want to go shopping, and maybe somebody will see that and grab it. We got three services for you to choose from, and we would love for you to bring somebody with you next week. I want to jump right in today to our message. So if you have your Bible, go to John chapter number 5. Today is going to be a continuation of last week's sermon. And so let me just remind you, if you weren't here last week, you didn't catch it, you can always go to our website. All of our sermons are on there. You can listen to old sermons and get caught up. It's on Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can go on there as well. But let me give you a quick recap. And I'm going to go through this a little bit quick today. And again, just catch up later this week if you can. John chapter 5, this is a time in Jesus' life. Pretty much everything that Jesus did in his life is leading him up to his death, burial, and resurrection. As he was born, all the way up through all the miracles and stuff he did. So Jesus called his disciples. He was going from place to place, just kind of putting his power on display, showing people that he loved them, doing things, healing people, giving mercy, forgiving sins. All of those things, Jesus was doing this all along the way. Well, Jesus finds himself in John chapter 5 at a swimming pool in a place called Bethesda. And at this swimming pool, there were many people who were disabled. They were laying around the pool. And Jesus gives us this interaction with this certain man that had been at this pool for 38 years. He'd been disabled. He'd been sitting there at this pool. And Jesus asks him this loaded question. He says, "Do you want to get well?" And the reason why I say it was a loaded question, because Jesus was asking something much deeper. He wasn't just saying, "Do you want to be healed?" He was saying, "Are you ready for a totally new life?" And that shouldn't surprise us, right? Because when Jesus steps on the scene, new things happen. When he is in your life, when he is active and you're spending time with him, new things happen. New things grow. New things come out. So that's what happens. Well, the man in the first part of John chapter 5 blames other people. He says, "I can't get down into the water." But Jesus doesn't let him have an excuse. He keeps pushing and he tells him, "Get up." And the man picks up his mat and he starts to walk. Now, this is where we're going to go back and pick up today. And so if you have your Bible there, John chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. And let me invite you to stand with me and honor the reading of God's word together. We're just going to read a few verses and kind of close out this story today. So instantly, verse 9, the man got well, he picked up his mat, and he started to walk. Now that was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "This is the Sabbath. The Lord prohibits you from picking up your mat." Well, he replied, "The man who made me well told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Well, who is the man who told you, 'Pick up your mat and walk?'" they asked. Look at this. Look at verse 13. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. Verse 14, after this, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that something worse doesn't happen to you. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use it like only you can. Use it to change us today, God. Use it to help us experience you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This story has so many twists and turns. There's so many I call them little gold nuggets, little truth nuggets that are insights for us. But I want to start with this, and this has always kind of bothered me as I read through this passage. I showed you guys this picture last week. Go to that first picture for me. So this is the picture of Jerusalem during this time as best as we can get from all of the history books. And I want you to see this pool of Bethesda where John chapter 5 is kind of taking place. Do you notice the Bible says it's right outside the sheep gate, and right here in the middle here is what's called Herod's temple. Now, I want you to think about this. During this time, people would come to the temple. This was church, right? This was their place of worship. People would come here daily to pray. They would be, you know, people who were serving God and trying to live their lives for the Lord, kind of like what we're doing here today. They would gather together in this place. Now, this pool of Bethesda where the disabled people would lay, do you notice where it's at? I mean, it's just a few steps from the entrance to the church. I mean, it's right outside the front door. And if anyone should have cared about people, shouldn't have been the people that were going to worship God every day? Shouldn't have been the people that are walking by the pool of Bethesda every day? But the Bible said for 38 years, this man sat outside the front door of the church and had no one. No one that would help him. No one that he could count on in his time of need. You mean to tell me he didn't have one meaningful relationship in his life? What a discouraging thought, right? I mean, come on. You're sitting outside of the church. He had no one to put him in the water for 38 years. Church, or let me talk to you today. If you're a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, we cannot be too busy celebrating the fact that we know Jesus and that he loves us that we forget to focus our attention on the people around us. We cannot do that. We can say we care all we want. We can say we love people, but there comes a time when we have to prove it, right? What's that old saying? Put up or shut up, right? There comes a time as a church, as a Christian, as someone who is following God, when I have to make some decisions. And here's one of the first questions I want you to lock in on today. And I want you to get this, but I want you to take it home and I want you to pray through it. Do I see people the way Jesus sees people? Do I see people the way that Jesus sees people? Look at the compassion that Jesus had. You know what he did, right? Jesus intentionally went to the pool where all the sick people were hanging out. He intentionally decided. He wasn't just walking by going, oh, what's it going on in there? He intentionally went to this place. The same way that he went to and met the woman at the well. The same way, you can go through every story, the same way he went to heal the official's son in Galilee. It was his choice to go in. The same way that Jesus went to the cross for you and I. Oh, was going to the cross comfortable? Was going to the cross convenient? Was going to the pool of Bethesda, was it like the most favorite, comfortable thing to do? No, but Jesus was all about what? Serving others. There's a very popular pastor, Rick Warren, a mega church out in California. And I read this week and I just had to share it because I think it goes right along with what Jesus is teaching us here. And I think it might hit home for some of us. The real reason so many Christians are lonely is because they're sitting when they should be serving. All around us is a world full of people who are lonely and waiting to be cared for. Then he lists the elderly person who hasn't had a visit in 2 years. The teenager who is messed up and wonders, what am I going to do with my life? The single adult who goes home every night to a lonely apartment. That widow who had just buried her husband. That employee who heads to the bar every night after work because there's nothing else to do. Church, there's a world full of people that are waiting to be loved. And honestly, and I hope you hear this and receive this with love, we need to stop saying, well, I don't have any friends and I don't have anything to do. And we need to start asking God, who can I minister to? Who can we invite over? Who can we love on? Who can we pour into? How can I show your love, God? Now, let's get real practical for just a second. I believe that the church is a great place, is a great place for training, for a training ground. See, you may not be ready to walk up to strangers. You may not be ready to go knock on someone's door and ask them about Jesus and their love and where they're going to spend eternity. But the more reps that we get, the more practice that we get in loving people, guess what's going to happen? The more we're going to live it out. And what a better place to get reps, what a better place to get training than the local church. But here's where I think we struggle today. And I'm not just talking about City Hope Church. I think for many people, coming to church every week, and here's the mindset. Come in, and I sit down, and it's like, feed me, preacher man, feed me. I mean, make it interesting. Make it funny. Make it good. Make it short, right? like, come on, preacher man, you got to sing some songs that I like. I mean, make sure everybody says hi to me. Make sure that I don't get anything uncomfortable. And when you start thinking about that, that today's church has become like this, it's all about me mentality, right? It's all about me. And I don't really believe that people set out to have that mindset. I don't think we go to church every day thinking, but this is my mindset. But the reality is that's what we see. And church, if that's going to be our mindset, that we walk by the pool of Bethesda, we walk by all the people who need love, then what are we doing? I believe that God wants to use you. No matter who you are, no matter how smart you are, whether you went to college or not, it does not matter. You have gifts, you have skills, you have abilities, you have passions that God wants to use. So my second question for you to chew on this week is, what's standing in my way of God using me? What's standing in my way of God using me? And let me just say this, another little practical note. If you feel weak, if you feel limited, if you feel like you're not ready, then let me say this. You're the exact kind of person that God wants to use. So Jesus goes to where the broken people are. Jesus goes to where the people who needed love, and he gives this man this healing. And I want you to see this. Look back at verse 9 and 10. Instantly, the man got well. He picked up his mat and he started to walk. Now, this is where it gets a little bit crazy. Now, that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "This is the Sabbath. The law prohibits you from picking up your mat." As soon as the man takes a step in obedience, he's questioned and accused. And that shouldn't come as a surprise. And another just hard-hitting, rich gold nugget out of this passage that we need to understand is that obedience invites opposition. Obedience is always going to invite opposition into your life and my life. Other people are not always going to understand why you do the things you do. They don't understand why your family is different and why you don't talk like them and go to places they do and watch the things that they do and act like they do. People don't always understand, and they probably don't even hardly like the fact. Doing things for the Lord is going to ruffle some feathers. Doing things different, when you're serving and you're loving and you're giving and you're abstaining and all of these things, anything that sets you apart, people are going to take notice. And they're not always going to like it. But I want you to think about this today. And I hope, again, I hope that you hear my heart in this today. I'm not totally pushing on you. I'm stepping on your toes a little bit, but it's out of love, all right? If nobody's pushing back, it might be because you're not pushing forward. If you got no opposition in your life to the way that you're serving and loving and giving and the things that God's called you to, if nobody's pushing back in your life, it might be because you're not pushing forward. You're just kind of sitting still, not ruffling any feathers, just walking into the church. I see the people over there, but I'm just going to go in. What area of your life is God trying to show you that you need to take some steps of obedience? What are those areas in your life that you can be set apart, that you can be different than the rest of the world? I want to give you some, I don't want to just talk about it. I want to give you these eight practical areas of your life that I want to encourage you to really dig into this week and really ask the Lord, are any of these areas that God is calling me to push forward where I'm just standing still? What of these eight areas, God, are you telling me and my family and my spouse and my kids, what is one of these areas, two of these areas, all of these areas that God has been trying to get you to be obedient, but you are busy just holding back? Is it finances? Man, Bobby, don't start talking about my money, right? Like, you're going to get a little personal here, right? The church can't talk about my money, but, well, God talks a lot about that. He talks a lot about tithing. He talks a lot about giving. He talks a lot about generosity and stewardship and what it means to be enslaved, to being in debt. And maybe God is calling you to a higher calling in your finances, and you're just kind of holding back. What about your relationships, the forgiveness and the love and the reconciliation and setting boundaries and having godly friendships and getting involved in you know, community and having people in your life that'll hold you accountable? What is God calling you to something higher there? What about your marriage and your family? Are you a spiritual leader in your home, Dad? Are you spending intentional time with your spouse, with your kids, having the fun time, having the good time, having the prayer time? Are you doing what God's called you to do as a man, as a wife, as a child? What about your career and your calling? God may be calling you to something practical and you're just kind of holding back. Nah, I don't want to step out into that. That's a little scary. God, I want to say yes, and I want to start something new. I want to leave what I know and what's comfortable. We're going to talk about the number five here more in just a minute, but personal holiness. Maybe there's some habits that God's calling you to break, some repentance that needs to take place, some purities. There's some cutting off access. There's some things that God's calling you to in your life. Time management. You spend some time every day in God's word, and you need to rest in the Lord, and you need to Sabbath, and you need to commit to what truly matters, church involvement. I mean, I'm getting a little practical. I mean, serving, joining a group, being a part of, committing to a local body of Christ. These are things that God's called us to do. Trusting God and taking steps of faith and sharing the gospel and obeying God without knowing all the answers. If you're living in obedience to God in these areas, then it's likely that you're going to feel and sense opposition. There's going to be people that don't understand. And just something to note, and I want to pause here for just a second. The opposition doesn't always come from the outside. You see, these folks that are doubting this man, that are telling this man, accusing this man, you know what? They were God followers. They were church people. Opposition doesn't always come from the outside. Sometimes it comes from within. Back in January of 2025, we announced phase one of our, what we call the Hope Project. And since we started City Hope Church, we've kind of had the Hope Project in our minds that one day we won't always rent the cafeteria at John Paul. One day God will allow us to move out. And back in January, we gave what we felt God was stirring in our hearts as phase one, right? And you understand this, like if you're going to go build a house, there's phases, right? You meet with the architect, and then you pick your land, and then you dig footers. And you don't just go from we're going to build a house to bam, it's done, right? There's phases. So we felt like phase one was God told us, hey, shepherd the people that you have before you go get a bunch of new people, right? And I felt like, man, that's good, Lord. Like, I'm gonna be obedient to that. Let's go. And so we decided that we were gonna go in the way that, hey, we need a full-time kids person and a full-time student pastor and someone to run a counseling center for us. Why? So that we could shepherd the people that we have. It doesn't matter if we have 300 people every Sunday if we can't shepherd them, right? So why go build a brand new building and have 600 people that you can't shepherd, right? And so we just felt that was, and can I tell you, since January when we announced that, we've had so much opposition. So much opposition. I wish I could sit here and tell you all these stories. And as I'm reading this, as I'm going through this, which, by the way, let me just remind you guys, our Hope Project phase one is 85% funded. All right. You guys have done an amazing job. We're almost there. We're almost there. All right. And the Lord's done some amazing things. But along the way, we just get little opposition, little opposition, little opposition. That's just since January. And we're standing here going, this is what God's called us to do, and this is what we want. And I feel like, you know, the more opposition we get, you know what that confirms to me? That we're being obedient to what God's called us to do. Opposition comes when we're truly learning to live the way that God's called us to live. So let's keep going. I gotta hurry. The man, they tell him, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. The opposition comes, and then look at the man's response. Verse 11. He replied, the man who made me well told me, pick up your mat and walk. Verse 12, well, who's the man that told you to pick up your mat and walk, they ask. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, because Jesus slipped away in a crowd. You see, he received his healing, but he didn't know the healer. He received his healing, but he did not know the healer. Church, let me encourage you today, get to know the healer. Get to know the healer. We can so easily get the blessing and get the healing. We can receive the gift and miss the giver. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says this: if you look for it as for silver. Think about you're just out with a wand, right? With a metal detector, you're a treasure hunter, and you're looking for treasure. The Bible says, if you look for it as you look for silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And look at this, you will find the knowledge of God. If you will search for God the way that you would for silver or gold, then you will find it, the Bible says. Knowing God comes through the pursuit of God. When we pursue wisdom, when we pursue his word, it's not about the blessing, it's about knowing him better. So here's this man, and he got the healing, but he did not know the healer. But look what happens. The man doesn't know it was Jesus. And then in verse 14, it says, after this, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you are well. Do not sin anymore, that something much worse doesn't happen to you. I love the richness of this passage. Let me give you two more things, and then we'll be done. First thing is this. Jesus knows where to find us. Jesus knows exactly where to find us. Even when the man didn't come back to Jesus, Jesus came to him. Jesus finds us in our brokenness. Not once, but twice did Jesus show up for this guy. Why? Because that's who he is. That's what he does. Listen to me, somebody, you need this morning. He knows your sins. He knows your struggles. He knows your hurts. He knows your questions. He knows your doubts. And yet he is still pursuing you today. Because why? He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience his goodness and his love and his mercy. Jesus knows exactly where to find you. And so he shows up for this man once again. And I love the fact that the man who sat outside of the temple for 38 years, one of the first places he goes is where? Into the temple. And Jesus knows exactly where to find him. But the second piece of gold here is that Christ pursues us not just to heal us, but to call us to holiness. Look what it says. After this, Jesus found him in the temple. So Christ pursued him. He showed up. And then look at this. He said, see, you are well. Hey, I healed you. But do not sin anymore so that something worse doesn't happen to you. This isn't something we talk a lot about in church. We don't think it's really attainable. I don't know why maybe the culture, maybe even church has given this a bad name. You've probably heard the phrase holy rollers, right? Or holier than thou type. And it kind of gives it a bad name, right? But here is Jesus not just showing up for this man. He's calling this man to holiness. Don't sin anymore. Stop it. Be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Look at this. Be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. God's not calling us something to be, to do, that he's not already. He tells you and I to be holy. Why? Because he is holy. Holiness reflects God's character. Holiness sets us apart as followers. Holiness isn't about being weird and holding our Bible over people's head. It's about us being different for a purpose. Holiness clears the junk. It unclogs relationships. And the more we walk in holiness, the more clearly we hear his voice. Let me say that again. The more that you and I walk in holiness, the more clearly we hear the voice of God. So Jesus shows up not once, but twice for this man. He heals him, then he shows up again, and he reveals himself to this man, and he calls him to holiness. I know I've given you a lot today. And I pray that this passage speaks to your heart like it has mine over the past couple weeks. But today I want to kind of end my time a little bit different than normal. I want you to think about this story. Several characters here in this story. And I wonder, who do you relate to the most? Put yourself in this story, and where do you find yourself? Maybe today you sit here and the reality is you can really, really relate to the crippled man. You feel like no one sees you. You feel like everybody just walks by. You feel like, man, I just need Jesus to show up in my life. And I need healing. I need to experience him in ways that I never have before. Crowd saw a crippled man, but Jesus saw someone for you. The crowd saw someone that maybe made them a little uncomfortable, so they stayed away. Jesus saw someone that he said, hey, I want to go to where he is. Here this morning, and that's you. You relate to this crippled man. I want to encourage you. Call out to him today. Allow the presence of God to enter into your life, to your soul, and into your situation. And allow God to fill you up with what he wants for you, not with what the world wants. Maybe you're here this morning and God is calling you to something, and the reality is you haven't been being obedient. Maybe it's you just find yourself kind of relating to the church people, and you go to church on Sunday and you go in and you worship God and you leave, and you don't really see people the way that Jesus sees people, and God's been calling you to be a servant inside the church. God's been calling you to serve outside the church. He's been calling you to give. He's been calling you to do all, just your personal holiness, your next step in your faith journey. I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. It's not stay the same. It's not sit back and don't grow in your relationship with Christ. And maybe today you can relate to the church people. God's calling you to something bigger, something next. And I encourage you, don't live your life with tunnel vision. Don't live your life just right here, only focused on you and what you got going on. Open our eyes to the people around us. And my prayer is that City Hope Church would never be a church that just walks by. That we together as the body of Christ would be a church who sees people, who loves people, who has experienced the love of Jesus in our heart, and our goal and our mission every day is to help other people experience it. Every day, normal people like me and you. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, you know what? I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm loving my neighbors, I'm doing the best that I can. And man, I'm spending time with Jesus. And let me encourage you this morning, maybe if that's who you relate to today, do not get weary in doing good. Don't stop. Even if you don't see the fruit, don't stop. You're making a difference. It matters that you live in obedience to the Lord, even when there's opposition, even when there's pushback. Don't stop. Keep showing up. Keep pushing forward. Keep striving. Keep praying. Keep having those devotions with your kids, even when they're rolling their eyes and they don't want to hear it. Keep having those moments with your spouse. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Push forward. Watch what the Lord does. I don't know who you relate to. I don't know what Jesus is speaking to your heart about today. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond like we always do here at City Hope. And so I want to ask you to do this with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to encourage you all over this room to say yes to Jesus. If you've never given him your heart, you've never given him your life, you've never invited Jesus to reign over it all, then let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day where you give up and say, God, I'm tired of doing this on my own. I need you. That's you and you need someone to talk to, I'll be up front. Our team will be here. We have a prayer team each and every week. We pray for you. We beg God for you to show up. And if you need somebody to talk with you, to pray with you, to take God's word and show you how to have that relationship with Jesus, take that step today. Maybe this morning you just feel the urge of the Holy Spirit. He's telling you it's time to start pushing forward. You don't have any opposition in your life because you're not doing anything. And it's time for you to get in the game. It's time for you to see people the way that Jesus sees people. Would you say yes to him today, church? No matter what it is. Jesus comes onto the scene. New things happen. Maybe for your life, it's time for new things to happen. He's waiting on you to say yes. He's waiting on you to invite him onto the scene. He's waiting on you to be obedient to what he's calling you to. Say yes today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. That Lord, we're stepping into a week where the whole world is turning and understanding the beauty your death, burial, and resurrection. But it starts with a daily decision. It starts with a decision in my heart to say yes to you. And I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would be able to confidently know and understand that they are a child of God. And if they don't know, if they're not sure, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Urge them, convict them, show them their need for God, I just pray that you would remind them and give them courage and understanding that they have a refuge in you, that they have friends here at City Hope that care about them, that love them, God urge us to respond. Lord, I know that there's people sitting in this room right now that you're calling them to something new, and they're on the fence. They haven't said yes, and they haven't said no. Give them the urge. Give them the push, God. Give them courage to say yes, to step into some unknown, but knowing that they're saying yes to you. God, may City Hope Church never be a church that just walks by, that we're so concerned that oh man, God loves me. God, may we always be concerned with those around us who feel unseen. I pray for that man or woman in this room today that relates to this crippled man. Oh God, show them that you love them. Show them how good your love and mercy is. That your grace is for all of us. You show up, God. That's who you are. That's what you do. Lord, we love you. We praise you and thank you. It's in Jesus' mighty, holy, precious name I pray. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.